Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice here on this Sunday of February, the first Sunday of February. We are glad to have you with us. We hope you're someplace staying warm. As we get together with the show, I see that we have several of the members of the panel ready to go. And one of the things that has been making itself visible to a lot of people and a lot of talk about this going around. And I want to say hello to the panelists. Some of them, not all, but some of them are here, ready to go. I just want to make sure that we are aware of what's going on in the world and talk to the panelists. But one of the things that seems to be affecting a lot of people are some predictions that were made by Nostradamus back in many hundreds of years ago. But they were specifically for 2022. And in 2022, he made several predictions, and a lot of the predictions he's made over time have come true, the Adolf Hitler piece and all that. Well, and recently I was reading some things that were happening in the world, and one of them is there's something out there heading toward Earth. And they're trying to figure out how to stop it. But one of the predictions that were made by Nostradamus was that he wrote, "Fire do I see that from the sky shall fall," which several outlets have taken to mean an asteroid will fall on Earth. We are lucky that NASA's out there trying to fix it. But there is an asteroid headed toward Earth now. And keep going with Nostradamus said, "The moon in the full of night over the high mountain, the new sage with the lone brain sees it. By his disciples invited to be immortal, eyes to the south, hands in bosoms, bodies in fire." So that is one of the things that Nostradamus predicted. And it does seem that there are a lot of scientists now who are a little concerned because there were some other things. One was he predicted crisis climate, which was something that to be concerned about. He wrote predicting that like the sun, the head shall sear the shining sea, the black seas, living fish all but boil, and he starved the local folks to cut them up and shall toil. So he also predicted famine. No abbots, monks, no novice to learn. Honey shall cost far more than candle wax. So high the price of wheat, the man is stirred, his fellow man to eat in despair. Those are just a few of the predictions, but he all predicted that for 2022, and there are several more. But just those alone seem to be coming around. What are your thoughts on that, Ron? Or do you believe in Nostradamus predictions, or do you believe any predictions that there are several people? There's another person who predicts that things have come true too, but let's talk about Nostradamus because he's the one that's been around for years, centuries. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm not quite sure what to believe because I know over the years there's been lots of predictions, not necessarily Nostradamus, but lots of predictions that haven't come through. And you're saying that several of the ones that he's made have come through. I hate to call it coincidence, but that's what I think it is. I mean, I don't think it's anything more than that, really. Yeah, that's how I feel about it.
All right. Soel, what are your thoughts?
Well, with all the calamities in the world, it doesn't really surprise me anymore. You said there was an asteroid heading towards the Earth, and I'm not even sure if you heard, like, the little slogan, like, Asteroid 2024. So I'm just trying to remain optimistic, but, you know, it's hard to do that sometimes.
Right. But there is an asteroid headed, and what NASA claims they know about it, and they're taking charge of it. So let's hope so. What about you, Mr. Wiggins? Welcome back. I know you've been out of the country, but with all this going on in the country and now these predictions, what are your thoughts?
David, it's strange you would say that because Nostradamus has been quoted a lot in predicting, but I predict that the COVID experience, COVID, will last another year. We'll face that and learn how to live with COVID-19. And that's what we've got to learn how to do this year in 22. Also, I think that China will be on the rise this year. There's going to be a lot of turmoil politically. I think the vice president and the former president will go at it head to head. Just some of the things on my mind.
Okay. What about you, Darius? What are your thoughts on these predictions in 2022? Because there's several more. There's one about food. Honey shall cost far more than candle wax. So high the price of wheat that man is stirred, his fellow man to eat in his despair. And I kind of see that. They get a lot of commercials on TV right now about starvation and kids that are hungry and things like that. So a lot of things that are happening are falling into these predictions. Is why I brought it up, because I kind of see, you know, I don't know if it's all matching, but like Ron said, it's just coincidence. What are your thoughts, Darius?
Well, David, you know, I don't really know a whole lot about Nostradamus. I mean, I've heard that he's got a pretty good track record. But, you know, some of the stuff that you're talking about was predicted long before Nostradamus. And there was this great prophet in a little town in the Middle East. His name was Jesus. that predicted in the last days all the things that you just talked about. It was predicted by him, you know, over 2,000 years ago that they would come. And you also have John the Revelator, who also wrote a lot of the things that he's talking about. And to take a political jab at it, what he's talking about the cost of food and begging and starvation, that right there, those are all signs of communism, socialism. And if we continue on this track, we're gonna experience that because what's happening is everybody's out for themselves. Everybody believes that the government should pay for everything. We should not have to pay or work for anything. And when you continue along that path, you create dependency, which leads to starvation. Also leads to inflation, which we're experiencing now, where you see the cost of everything going up. And anywhere that you've had socialism and communism, it always equated to high inflation and starvation.
Wow. Michael, what are your thoughts on these predictions in 2022 and what's going on?
Well, I'm actually going to piggyback off of what Ron said. I think it's just a coincidence. I don't really believe that Nostradamus had a crystal ball and he could just see so much into the future. And when you say a meteorite's on the way to hit the Earth, isn't a meteorite always on the way to hit the Earth? Like, I've been hearing that one since I was a little kid, to be totally honest with you. And inflation, yeah, inflation's always up. So what? No big deal. So, no, I don't think Nostradamus, I don't believe it. I don't believe the whole Nostradamus thing. I think that's a fallacy.
All right. Spencer, what are your thoughts?
I agree with Michael, you know, and Ron. I just think, like they said, asteroids are always by the hit Earth. I think one just happened. I want to say in, like, December, it got so close, but it always misses. So I guess until then, you know, unless it's, you know, real, you know, maybe we got something that can knock it out of the sky. And as far as, you know, the price of candle wax costing more than honey, I just think this just, you know, everything's up high right now because of inflation. So it's just a coincidence.
So you're saying that everything is that's going on, even though it matches the prediction, it is just coincidence that he would say it thousands of years ago to happen now, and it's happening. That is possibly that it can't happen. Would you suggest, I guess my bottom line then, would you suggest that people prepare themselves somewhat in case this does, any of this is, because it doesn't mean that all of it's going to happen. Maybe some of it's going to happen, but it looks predictable that we are headed toward inflation and those kinds of things anyway. So would you say for men who are taking care of their families, there should be something in the back of their minds to be concerned with or not, Ron?
Well, you know, it never hurts to be prepared, like the Boy Scout motto, for those of you that know the Boy Scouts, always be prepared for what could come your way. And but, you know, aside from, I mean, you still have to get on with life. Just be ready for whatever the higher power throws our way. And Don, great to have you back, my friend. We missed you.
Thank you very much.
Do you remember maybe 10, 15 years ago, everybody was building bunkers in their backyards and things like that? That was another one of these kind of times. And do you think that all of that was a waste of time, Don?
Yes, I do, David. I think it was a waste of time.
And money. There are people building bunkers that are still in business today.
Right.
It's a good way for people to sell things to us. You know, you buy all this canned food and things like that and put away. So let me understand. The panelists are saying that this is just a coincidence and that it can stay in your mind, but don't overdo it. Is that basically what gentlemen are saying? Did I get it right there, Darius?
No, not necessarily for me. I was saying that all of this stuff was predicted before him, that this stuff is happening, maybe not in the way that we think is going to happen. But yeah, it's coming. There'll be a time when this stuff does come to fruition. I don't know, like I said, if it's going to happen the way he said it. But the Bible definitely tells us that those days are coming before Christ returns. So, yeah, it's going to happen, and we just have to be prepared. And when I say prepared, I don't mean we got to build bunkers and, you know, be like the last preppers or the true preppers and buy food and stuff like that. But, hey, it's nothing wrong with being prepared, you know. But we do have to prepare financially in case there's a crash in the markets, and we do want to be prepared, you know, in terms of employment and income because, that stuff, I believe it is going to happen.
All right. And your comments or predictions from the Bible, tell me a prediction from the Bible, Darius, that did come to fruition or one that's out there. Well, I guess what you're saying is you know, all of these things were predicted and the end of the world would come and how it would come. Are those some of those predictions in the Bible, some of these predictions that we're listening to today?
Yeah, we got a key one that's going on now with the virus. You know, the Bible talks about pestilences. It talks about disease, and it talks about, viruses that will wipe out a third of the earth. So, you know, we're seeing that. We've seen that. It talks about starvation. You know, we've had, in some places, a resurgence of locusts, a resurgence of locusts eating crops, destroying crops. So, and then we talk about, you talk about climate change. I don't believe in man-made climate change, but I do believe the climate is going to change because the Bible talks about the next time that the earth will be destroyed by fire. So, so yeah, there are several things that's happening and that have already happened as predicted in the Bible. So, yeah, I tend to believe that these events will occur.
All right. Bruce, welcome. And I want to say Bruce is traveling and he's up in the mountains, so he might be in and he might be out. But right now he's in. So, Bruce, have you been listening?
I'm in, and I actually made it home. So I'm back on terra firma.
Oh, okay. Do you understand what we were talking about?
No. All I heard was Darius's profound wisdom, but I didn't hear the question.
Okay. We'll move on to what we were talking about. Predictions from Nostradamus and things that are happening in 2022. It seems that he actually pinpointed 2022 as a very desolate year for this earth. So anyway, I think we should keep that in our minds for those of us that, think that we should, because we do have families. And I think in all of men's minds who has families and relatives and things like that, there always should be a plan B for something happening, a major disaster in our families. And I think as men, sometimes we'd have it in there. We just never tell anybody we're thinking about it. So I think this is a good opportunity to discuss it. But anyway, let's move
David,
on.
Can I add one thing to that? Can I add one thing to that?
Sure.
The little bit I did hear, and something that's come up in conversations I've had with others before, is in the infinite wisdom of the Almighty, these pestilence, as Darius, I heard him say, are out there and are to some degree coming true. But what you don't hear is they're orchestrated and delivered by the actions of the human beings. It's not something that he scourges totally on its own, that it's going to happen no matter what you do. I think we have a lot to do with the interaction of how it's handled and what ultimately occurs.
All of these things that are predictions are in place because of man and what man is doing. What are your thoughts on that, Michael?
Well, I mean, as you know, I'm an atheist, so I don't really believe the Bible. I'm not into religion and whatsoever. So I'm probably not the right guy to answer that question because my answer is just going to be it's all BS to me.
Okay. What about you, Spencer? Spencer, are you there?
Yeah. What was the question?
Well, just the thought of what the comments were just happened. I'm going to move on, though, because I think we spent enough time on this. We need to get on. So I'm going to move it on to let's go with Ron. I mean, Don. Don, it's been a few times since you've been gone, but you always have great things to bring to the table. So if you have what did you want to bring to the table this week that we could possibly think about? And I hope your travels were well. Nice to have you back.
Yes. Oh, it's glad to be back. I miss you guys, man. I'll tell you that. We've been traveling in the Bahamas and Jamaica, the Caribbean islands, and taping TV shows. But anyway, one of the things that I want to talk about, David, is the banner year that we're expecting with electric cars and electric vehicles. It seems like oil used to be the driving factor with Iraq, Iran, and the countries in the Middle East. They used to have us shaking in our knees with oil prices. Well, the electric car is going to be such a major factor with Ford and General Motors. They're building electric cars, and I think that that's going to be the wave of the future. In fact, Ford and General Motors are now building plants in Detroit and Ohio to build electric cars, electric batteries, and Tesla and so forth. I think that that's going to be a major topic for the year 2022.
All right.
Don?
Go ahead.
Yeah. May I add one comment? The thing that we're not hearing much about that's going to hold this major wave back, and I'm not saying that what you're saying is bad. It's definitely good. It's going in the right direction. But what's going to hold it back in a major, major way are two things: the price point, and more importantly, the infrastructure for fueling, so to speak, electrical vehicles is not anywhere close to being ready. What do you think about that?
Well, right where you live in Lansing, Michigan, I think that the president of the automaker is building a brand new plant, and they're predicting that in the year 2025 that there will be all electrical vehicles. It's going to be a chore to get it started, but, man, I think they're going to accelerate that like never before in 2022.
I can add something to that, and you being down here, Don, you've probably seen it too, but I'm seeing more and more charging stations for electric vehicles everywhere I go, especially the newer buildings. I just went to one the other day in downtown Coral Gables, and they must have had 20 or 30 spots for electric vehicles, and of course, in prime location where everybody wants to park. So I don't know about other parts of the country, but down here, I see it more and more.
You're absolutely ironically right, Ron. And Ron, you know something? This is not the automotive capital like Michigan. And we're seeing it down here. And I see more foreign cars down here than anywhere in the world.
Yep, and more Teslas, too. I'm sure you've seen that.
Let me jump in with Soel. Soel, you're a young guy, and you're heading – you're life is heading toward that direction that Don is talking about, electrical cars and those kinds of things. And we know you're pretty brainy, so tell us what your thoughts are.
Well, everyone's different, and the electric cars, I don't think it's going to be a while until we're going to have the same type of experience with the electric car that we have with the gas car. I mean, many people just like the convenience of a gas car. They can just fill it up and go. And some people, they just don't understand, like, yeah, I don't want to take a cross-country road trip with a car, charge it for 2 hours, go 300 miles, charge it for 2 hours. And that's the thing. I mean, cars, even gas cars, are making a lot of evolution in technology to where it's become a big thing. I don't like electric cars personally. I mean, my car is from 1986. So I just don't really see the appeal in it, but I do see how people find electric cars exciting.
All right.
Can I add
sure.
again?
Sure.
believe it or not, Don and Ron, and I agree with your touting Michigan as still one of the big major centers for automotive travel. And, yes, they are building a lot, but infrastructure, not the building of the vehicle, but the infrastructure is still sorely missed in Michigan. You would think if any place hit it first, it would be Michigan. It's not. I travel all over the state, upper and lower, and there are sorely lacking in as I think Sorrell brought up, enough so that you feel confident that if I own an electrical vehicle now, that I'll be able to have the freedom of electric and go, and wondering, where are they going to be? Is there going to be enough? Is there going to be a charging station where I want to go? That's a big deterrent for people up here.
One thing they were looking at because that was the issue, was the technology that they're trying to build now is that parking stations. So when you just pull up your car, if you pull up an electric vehicle, when you park, like, it's like a pad now, so that it would just automatically charge the car now instead of having to plug it in. You know, that's one thing they was looking at and trying to develop at a faster rate, you know, so that now your parking spot would just be at a charging station itself.
Right. Well, that would make a lot of sense. That's a possible good approach.
David, can I chime in on that?
Sure. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Don was absolutely right. So glad to hear your voice again, Don. There will be a strong increase in electric vehicles, but I want to correct one thing, and that's that Don was saying that the oil nations, the OPEC nations, used to have us shaking in our boots, and they did, you're right, but we weren't shaking in our boots because of the emergence of electric vehicles. They were shaking in their boots because America was oil independent, energy independent, so we didn't need OPEC, and actually we became the chief exporter of oil. I'm not going to call his name because that angers some of you under our last president. So that's why they were shaking in their boots. But let's understand this, which a lot of environmentalists don't understand, piggybacking off of what Bruce said, is the infrastructure. What happens is you'll never get rid of fossil fuels. The electric car is not the answer, and it's not going to get us away from there. There's a study that was done that says that, well, first of all, if every American wanted an electric vehicle right now, the grid would shut down because there's not enough power. And what a lot of environmentalists forget about when they talk about electric vehicles and clean energy is that power has to come from somewhere to charge the vehicle. So you're still using power plants. It's still going to be coal to charge the vehicles. So you're going to use even more energy, even more fossil fuels than you're doing now if everybody starts buying electric vehicles. So the infrastructure is not there, and the power supply is not there. So you're not really cleaning up the environment like everybody's saying you will be by using these vehicles. Also,
unless you go to nuclear.
Unless we go to nuclear, which I'm all for, but not the environmentalists. So that's a good point, Ron. We should go to nuclear, but the environmentalists are against nuclear as well. But you're still gonna have coal. You're still gonna have fossil fuels. There isn't a jet that's made that's gonna be able to fly us across country on a battery pack. You know, so there isn't a locomotive train that can ship goods on a battery pack. Now, I did see that they're working on having trucks do deliveries on battery packs. But the time from going, I read somewhere that from going from San Antonio to New York and an electric vehicle would take you almost 18 hours longer because you have to stop, not only stop at the charging stations, but you have to locate the charging stations, which a lot of times is going to take you off course. So while it's hopeful, I don't want you guys to think that I'm a downer on it. We're a long, long way away from electric vehicles, and we're even further away from getting the zero carbon emissions. Electric vehicles is not going to get us to zero emissions.
Michael, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
I'm all for EVs or electric vehicles, whatever you want to call them. I think it's
for many reasons, it's been quoted on here because of wars we go through over oil, and oil is damaging the environment, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I'm definitely pro getting rid of fossil fuels, but I got to agree, the infrastructure is not there. And like Darius said, it's going to take so much energy to power all of those vehicles that I just don't see that being plausible right now. Maybe we go solar. How about solar vehicles? I think that's a good idea. Put a solar panel on the roof and let the sun charge the car. But getting off of fossil fuels, I'm 100% for. We need to get rid of fossil fuel vehicles for sure.
All right. I want to move more around the table. So, Bruce, what are your thoughts that you would like to bring to this table this week? Sorry.
This year? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Well, this new year, yeah.
You're right. I'm hearing, I'm getting more and more disturbed about and concerned, maybe concern is the better word, about the enforcement or forcibly enforcement of the mask situation for our kids and education and so much education that is being compromised for a whole lot of reasons centering on the mandated wearing of masks. And not just the exposure to the virus, but other things, and the fact that we heard people say follow the science, until the science didn't say what certain people wanted to hear, and they say, well, we won't follow that science, we'll follow this one over here. And my whole point in my little dissertation is the fact that. We're still not, you've heard me, this drumbeat from me a lot, we're still not getting enough proper information, education about what masks work, when is a mask possibly a good thing to wear or not wear, and what masks do work. And so that each one of us then can take, embrace that information and decide for themselves, do they go into a group? Do they not go into a group? Do they join this club? Do they not? Do they go into this restaurant? Do they not? Personal choices. And for the life of me, I don't understand why we're not getting that kind of valuable, complete information.
All right.
Hey, Bruce.
Go ahead.
Yes.
So I just heard the other day in one of the major networks, which I know some of you guys don't like, but I just heard a report about what masks work better than others and even percentage of protection. And, of course, the N95s and KN95s were up there, and they ranked them and said, with an N95, you're whatever the percentage was, 90% protected. If both of you are wearing masks or if one is and one isn't. I mean, I just saw that the other day, so so the information is out there. I guess maybe not as widespread as it should be. But even if that information is out there, like down here, masks. I go places and I see maybe 95% of the people not wearing masks, indoors and outdoors. I mean, outdoors is a little different, but. Even indoors, I go to the grocery store, 95% of the people are not wearing masks. So I think people are just doing whatever the hell they want at this point.
Why do you think that is, Ron?
Because they're tired and they don't like to be told what to do.
But people don't have to be told what to do. They will do the right thing if they're properly informed. And we're still not, you're right, I saw that same report you said, that isn't the information, that's the start of it, that's all it is. It's good, it should be done, but it's only the beginning. It's like we want to run to the answer, knee-jerk, and implement it before anybody knows what's going on. And that's part of the frustration, anger, and tiredness of the public. We're told to do instead of informed to do. So we can make our own decision. You make your own decision on when and when not to wear a mask. And I almost would guarantee you, gentlemen, that most people will make the right decision. But we just don't have the fortitude to do that.
Well,
This subject is a lot about what's going on, and there has been a lot of issues recently about mental health issues in the United States. And one of the things that we have as men been kind of weary of is telling our families that we need some kind of psychological service to help the family or take your kids to see a psychologist or something like that. But there's a lot going on. I mean, we all heard about the young lady who was, I think, Miss America or something, who jumped off a building and committed suicide. Well, about 2 months ago, there was a lady in New York who jumped off of one of the high-rise buildings with her newborn child. And murders in the United States in 2020 rose 30% from 2019, which was the highest ever. And in 2021, it went up even a little more. So I think one of the issues is we're not getting available data that would suggest what we should be doing and what's going on and what's missing in the picture. So we need to understand why murders and deaths are rising so much and what we need to do to protect our families. So I do think that mental health is something we need to start talking about. It needs to be more of a dinner conversation where we are asking our kids and we're asking our family members how they're doing. We just don't do that anymore. And it's something that has never been something we should get involved in, but with the statistics that are going on, and we're not really getting good data. If we had better data, I think infrastructure could be taken care of by wondering, do we need to have more police officers? Do we need to have more rules about gun control? You know, what is it that we need to do in the United States to make everything safer than what's going on? What are your thoughts on that one, Michael?
I think a lot of the poverty, I think poverty has a lot to do with that. I think poverty is a big reason why the crime rate is going up. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, David, a lot of the criminals, the people committing the crimes, are from my community. It's a lot of young African-Americans. Every time you hear a shooting, a robbery, or something very bad happening, it's normally an African-American young man who committed that crime. Now, I don't condone crime in any way, form, or fashion, but the fact that I am a black man and I grew up in poverty in the ghettos, I understand why they're committing those crimes. And I think we should take a look at that as opposed to just the strategies, well, we just need to lock, get more police officers and let's just lock them all up. I don't think that's the strategy. I think we got to address years of systemic racism and poverty, and that is the underlying argument as to why there is so much crime. These people are committing, these kids are stealing and robbing because they're poor, because they don't have any money. They're at home with no toilet paper to clean their behinds. So, yeah, they're going to go out and rob and steal and do what they got to do. I don't agree with it, as I said, but I think we need to address the income inequality and poverty if we're going to talk about addressing criminal activity in this country.
I don't think it's a good idea to put the advice around black people saying that's young black people that are committing all these crimes. That's wrong, and we should not be saying that, because there are people from all races out doing these things. All the school shootings are not young black boys shooting schools. They're actually Caucasian boys shooting these schools and killing the students and things like that. So to put more anchors on the black community by saying something like that, to me, is rude to our people. What are your thoughts, Darius?
David, I love you, man. But what you said just then is a part of the problem. Because the problem is we're so politically correct that nobody wants to address the real issues. And the real issues is what Michael said. It's within the urban community. 70%, I think, of the homicides are committed by young black youth, you know, young black people, I'm sorry. So that's one of the main issues. The first and primary issue is when you talk about defunding the police, when you talk about tying the hands of the police, when you talk about no bail release, when you tell people, oh, if you shoplift anything less than $2,000, you won't go to jail. You know, when you excuse it, like Michael just did, Michael had a good point earlier, but then later he excused it by saying, oh, well, they're poor. When you make those type of excuses, then the crime rate increases every single time. So the answer is to all the homicides that's going on is very simple. When you tell the police, you know, we're going to defund you, we're going to tie your hands, and when people are afraid to address the core issues like the youth, the black youth that are killing each other at an alarming rate, and nobody wants to call that out because nobody wants to look racist. Nobody wants to send cops in there into the neighborhood and heavily arm them because then they'll say, oh, they're
too many cops in the black neighborhoods. Well, you got to go where all the crime is happening. And unfortunately, I'm a black man. Unfortunately, most of the crime is happening in the inner cities, and it's happening amongst young blacks. The robberies are happening because the DAs are talking about not indicting those people who shoplift if they say they're poor. So that's why you see all these smash and grabs. Those people aren't stealing all of them because they're poor. I seen the tapes in L.A. when they went up to the stores, and they were smashing in Louis Vuitton and Gucci. And I've seen the cars that they were driving and jumping in and out of. There were people jumping out of Teslas. There were people jumping out of Jeeps and G-Wagon. Like, they weren't poor. They didn't steal and loot because they were poor, because they were trying to feed their families. They stole and loot because there has been an acceptance, and it's been excused and ignored by the most part by liberal do-gooders.
Let's go back to something I brought up before. The more that the reason there are more young African American kids being arrested is because there are more police officers in their communities, and the police officers have to have as many arrests as they possibly can as the next officer can. So if you have a community with 10 police officers versus a community with 2 police officers, you're going to have a whole bunch more of the arrests for those kinds of kids. I don't see across the board, if you really look at it, it's kind of even across the board if you look at statistics. But if you look at what the press puts out there, it looks like our communities are the ones that are doing the worst. Well, I have to tell you, that's because there are more officers over there arresting. Ron, what are your thoughts?
I have to side with Michael and Darius on this. I mean, I know that nobody on here was a former police officer like you were, so you probably have a different perspective. But you know, I think they hit the nail on the head with what they said.
What about you, Don?
David, you know, I think that everybody has brought up a valid point, but we've gone through the past couple of years like we've never gone through anything in the history of the United States. This pandemic has perpetuated a lot of mental health among all races, not just black, Hispanic, Caucasian, but all races. I mean, we not only have the down and out, this economically deprived, and the health disparities with the underserved and down and out. There's a new generation called the up and out. The up and out is going through mental health situations as well. We perceive them as doing well. We perceive them as rich, like the young lady that ran for Miss America and killed herself. You know, I'm reminded of my cousin, 25 years ago, she killed herself, but before she killed herself, she killed her 2 kids, and nobody knew anything like this was happening. She was a famous recording artist, but she left a note that still sticks in my mind today, and that note said, "When you see a problem in your family, don't wait for it to come to you. You go to the problem." And that's something that we are not doing. I mean, we are meant to associate and be around people. We've been isolating for the past 2 years. I mean, we've gone through some things that this world has never seen before. We've closed mental health facilities. And now people are drugging themselves and fixing themselves. And when you try to be your own doctor, evidently have a food for a patient. So this is something new for us. It's not just black or white. It's mankind. And we're struggling with this. We need to address it in our families. Our families need to do it one-on-one. And we need to do it with our own family that live close to us in our home and in our neighborhood.
Don, may I piggyback something on that?
Go ahead.
Don, I agree with a lot of what you just said. What I bristle at from a white man's perspective, different than yours, is I'm tired of too many things being said and done in the urban and underprivileged community, mostly black, that paints them as being dumber or less educated or less ability to be educated. And that's totally false. I think you'd remember, if you haven't, if you ever come up here, I'll show it to you. There is an excellent example in the inner city of Detroit called High Point. And High Point is a school that takes underprivileged kids, doesn't matter their color, but mostly black. I've only been there, but I was impressed by that one visit. And these kids are being highly educated, highly motivated, doctors, professionals, nurses, every imaginable creation of success you can imagine. So I get upset when the picture isn't completed by saying the brain and the slate that starts with any child has a huge potential. Doesn't matter where they start, who they're with, but they can excel if they're educated in the right way. So I get really annoyed with that. And some of the biggest culprits of painting that picture are the own African-American leaders. I'm not blaming just them, but I'm saying they're guilty of doing that, and they're disturbing these children when they do that.
Agreed. Okay, Bruce, let me just say this. As a young African-American and a proud BLM supporter, the African-American community is far less educated than the white community. That's just a fact. The education system has failed the black community. So unfortunately, yes, young black kids are not as smart as young white kids. And I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to give everyone on here an example of what I was saying about we need to address the income inequality. Right here in my city of L.A. just recently, in Beverly Hills, two young black men went to a restaurant and robbed a white guy who was eating dinner with his family and shot him. The white guy was wearing a $500,000 Rolex on his wrist. This guy had $500,000 on his wrist, okay? These poor young black kids, unfortunately, they had no money, they had no resources, they had zero. So they risked going to prison for the rest of their life to go rob this guy. Now, in my opinion, it's not fair that a guy can have $500,000 on his wrist when you got starving young black kids right down the street from you. So that's the issue we need to address, the income inequality. That's why the crime rate is so high. Because I'm not a criminal or a crook in any way. But if I'm starving and hungry and I see a guy with a $500,000 watch on, chances are I'm probably going to hit him in his head and take that watch myself.
Well, Michael.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Bruce.
No, go ahead, Darius.
Okay, so Michael, as a black man, I'm going to say there's never ever an excuse or reason for you to rob someone or kill someone for whatever material possessions they have. Never. There are other resources out there. Like, there's no reason why anybody should be hungry unless they have, like, mental health issues or they have drug addictions in America. There are food stamps and stuff like that available. There are food ministries. You know, there's one not too far from my house. I see every week they have food out there for people to come and get. And, yeah, I live in a different neighborhood, but they oftentimes have leftover food. They're calling people, please come get this stuff. We have too much, the food pantries. But what you're doing right now, Michael, is what David did earlier. You're excusing the behavior and not addressing the core issue. The core issue is not income equality. It's a lack of values. It's about the fathers not being in the home. And BLM is one of the main culprits because they preach against the nuclear family. Nothing else will add to the degradation of the black society more than not having a father in the home. And Black Lives Matter movement is totally against that. But also want to add this. In terms of education, Michael, this is where you're wrong. It's not the educational system that has failed black kids in inner cities. It's the Democratic officials that have failed them. Simply because when you look at all of these neighborhoods, you look at Baltimore, you look at Chicago, you look at L.A., you look at all of these cities that are struggling educationally, they're all run by liberal Democrats. They're all run by black people. So you can't blame the government. You can't blame the white man because they're run by black officials. The mayors are black. The superintendents are black in all of these inner urban cities. So what the issue is there's a lack of morals, there's a lack of human value, and there is a lack of hope for the future because we want to excuse it and give them reasons to do what they're doing instead of addressing the issues. And we need to get back to getting the fathers involved in the family. We need to get off of government-subsidized dependency, and we need to focus on education. As Martin Luther King said, education is the great equalizer. And black mayors and city officials are failing our black kids in these urban environments. It's not the white man.
All right, Jeremiah, okay. I know you're just coming in. Have you been listening? Do you have any comments on what we're talking about?
I disagree with something said. I pretty much agree. The gentleman that was just speaking, I just think he was really preaching because he's spot on. He's absolutely spot on. There is some issues and core values missing, and I would have to agree with him.
All right. Spencer, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
I think a collective everybody was – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Spencer, go ahead.
I think as a collective, everybody opinions was very valid. I think some other key points are I'm going to give you an example as far as Atlanta. I don't think from a political standpoint, I'm not sure if they care about the crime that's in the inner city. It's just that I think now it's just expanding outside of the inner city. Like, for example, here in Atlanta, we have Buckhead, which is a city in Atlanta. They want to break away because the kids are, you know, the martyr and all that. It's easier for them to go to Buckhead, rob, and do all that stuff, get all the good stuff, and come right back to the city, hop right back on the train, right back on the bus, like nothing happened. And now they're making and now they're saying something about it. I think if it wasn't happening at a rate that it's happening, they wouldn't even care because it's not their problem. You know, so I think that's happened around the country as a whole, that they're saying something because now it's going outside of the inner city. And also a lot of it, I think some of it now is also the music. You know, the music has gotten very, you know, crime rate, you know, doing this, doing that, and the youth want to have something to prove or just do it for support. Just like I think Darius was saying, you know, the guys that robbed the Louis Vuitton store, you know, they hopping out of Jeeps, you know, nice Jeeps and Teslas and stuff. They're just doing it for support. You know, they're not even doing it because they're poor or because of someone would do it because they're poor, but they're doing it just for sport, just to be on social media and they'll flex, as you will. You know, and those are other issues. And also, I don't think they just care enough. You know, they don't care enough about the youth, whether it's the education system, whether it's your local leaders. I don't think they care enough about the youth to actually do something about it like back in the day. You know, the whole community helped out to even help out just one person. You know, if you was doing wrong, everybody shut you down. You know what I'm saying? They pulled you to the side and let you know what you was doing wrong. You don't see that as much because I think also is that the mothers and grandmothers are younger now. And with that mentality, they're not as mature as you would think they would be to handle their own young son or daughter and preventing them to do said things because they're still out partying or trying to hang out and not really focused on home because they're still young themselves. You know, you got grandmothers that are like 35, 33, you know what I'm saying? And with the social media and all that plays a part in this, in the whole scheme of what's going on. Yeah, like 35. So, yeah, you know, and that's just my opinion of the whole situation.
All right. Soel, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
Well, it's kind of going in a lot of places. You mean like about race and like the black community and stuff?
Well, yeah, you can come up with that, yes.
Personally, I think it's a lot of blaming. I mean, if you see problems with the way how the school is or the school board is, I mean, make changes. I mean, run for the school board, make changes. I mean, I remember this. It was in the news a couple of years ago, and this mother was complaining about how the school district was when the mayor was black, when the school board leader was black, when the chair of the school board was black, when the principal was black, when the senator of the state was black, and when the president was black, and the congresswoman for the district was black. I mean, you can try just to, like, hey, I want to have someone that looks like me in office. That's perfectly fine, but don't just vote for someone because they're black. And if they keep making mistakes, don't keep voting for them. Like, oh, they don't know any better because they're black. I mean, no. I mean, hold people accountable because you deserve to have a better life. Your child deserves to have a better life than you did. And if you're just making excuses because of your race, I mean, that is quite ignorant and selfish of you.
All right. Let's we only
hey,
have
– Hey, David.
Yes.
Hey, David, if I could real quick, I just want to address the – I always hear the Republicans and them say, well, those rioters were in Teslas and nice cars, so they weren't rioting because they needed the money. They were doing it for sport. That's the most asinine answer I hear. Those people in those cars, they, number one, they rented those cars. They don't own those Teslas. They either rented them or stole them. And in the black community, it's known black people live well above their means. Just because they're in a nice luxury car does not mean they're financially stable. Actually, they're even more poor because that Tesla's a huge debt for them that they cannot afford.
So, Michael, does that make it okay then? Because they rented a car or because they misappropriate their funds or because they're living above their means? Should they take from other people because they're doing that, like because they made those poor choices?
Does it make it okay that for hundreds of years their family and their ancestors had things taken from them?
Oh, bro.
Yeah, and guess what, Michael? Those my great-great-grandparents, my great-grandparents and my family, they taught me no matter what the situation is, never take anything or even covet anything that anyone else has. So that goes back to morals and values. It has nothing to do with, oh, I don't have enough. Because that could be placed in any level, Michael. Let's say you might have $1,000 in your pocket, and I might have $0. Should I hit you over the head and take half of that? See, like, we always equate the examples to millionaires and billionaires. But what about the ordinary people? What about the people who are working every day, and they only have a couple $1,000s, and somebody looks at them as an opportunity because, oh, you have $2,000, and I don't. So you can afford $500. I should be able to knock you over the head and take $500 from you. And let's forget that a lot of these store owners aren't wealthy. A lot of these store owners are making a living. They're middle-class people like you and I or anybody else. I shouldn't say you and I. I don't know if you're middle class, but like anyone else. They're not all rich. They're not all wealthy.
Well, if I could just answer that question, if you got $1,000 in your pocket and I have zero, and the reason you have the $1,000 is because the system is gamed in your favor, then yeah, I'm gonna knock you in your head and take that $1,000. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe
Michael.
I have $1,000. Maybe I have $1,000, Michael, because I go to work every day. I could have a job at a grocery store. So not because I took something from somebody, but because I go to work every day, I make some good decisions, wise decisions. I'm not living above my means. I'm not wearing a $250 pair of sneakers.
All right,
that's
gentlemen.
The difference.
We only got 30 seconds left, and I want to bring this to a close and tell everyone thank you for listening to us. There are more comments to be made on this. I think we should start off with this because the one thing I think that got away from us is that all races have caste systems. There are lower class, middle class, upper class, and all the races. Anyway, We'll see you back here again next week, guys. I will talk to you again next week. Have a great week.
Have a great day,
everybody. God bless everybody, and strengthen your family unit. Go,
hey,
go welcome back,
Cincinnati.
Go Cincinnati.
Go LA Rams, baby. LA Rams,
Michigan
baby.
Wolverine.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Dolphins just got a new coach.